Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
You know, when we are looking for that place to worship and fellowship, the number one thing shouldn't be, I like these people. The number one thing should be, is Christ lifted? Is He magnified? Are they serious about Christ? Do I understand the Bible and who Jesus is as a result of coming here? If I were to come here over a year, what would I learn? Because that's what we want to gather around, is the Word of God. And I'll guarantee you this. If you gather around that, you will not only like those that you're around, you will love them.
It's easy to overlook, but the reality is you must be sure that you go to church to praise and glorify Jesus. Today, Pastor Troy asks you what it is that you're expecting from your church. You go there for the concert aspect of it? Are you there because your friends are there? Though these things are nice and good to have, the truth is all that should matter at church is whether or not Jesus is being glorified. Make certain that church is for Jesus, not for you. Go there with goals to serve others and praise God. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We are in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Last week we talked about the Word of God, the Bible being the Word of God. What it does, it's alive, that it goes into the heart of a person and it begins to guide, it convicts. It does an amazing, we spent a lot of time talking about the conviction and even the separation that it does, saying, no, 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 that was emotion, no, 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 that was the flesh. You said it was for me, but that was for you. And then what is done in the Spirit, and it is able to feed the spirit of a man and strengthen them so that we can be spiritual men and women, maturing. If we don't let it guide and convict, it will one day condemn. It was John chapter 12, verse 48, and we'll look at that verse again. You don't have to flip there, we'll project it. It says, He, Jesus speaking, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now, if that weren't enough, we also learned that no creature is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And it is him that we want to talk about today, Jesus. You see, the Word of God, our Bible, it convicts, it goes into the heart, but ultimately it, along with the Holy Spirit of God, the ultimate goal is to point us to Jesus. That's their work. If what you're getting from the Scriptures isn't causing you to go to Christ, then you're getting the wrong thing from the Scriptures. It's not telling you you can do this. It's telling you who did it and who you can do it through. And in those times where it's like, I can never do that, it's like, yeah, that's right. That's why you need to go to Christ, because in Him you can do all things. The reason it points us to Christ is so that we don't have to sit under condemnation, but that we can experience transformation and salvation. Talking with the religious leaders, they knew the word. They knew the laws, and they imposed the laws on everyone, enforced the laws. In fact, they had more laws. I mean, if you weren't supposed to get this close to the pulpit, they said, not good enough. No, no, at least 10 feet from the pulpit. That's safer. And then that became the law, not just safer, but the law. And the law got broader and bigger, and there were so many of them. They knew them. They kept them, sort of, in their own mind. but they sure did impose them. Talking to the religious leaders who knew the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, he said, John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." Even the Old Testament scriptures were intended to point them to Christ, the coming Messiah. So embracing the principles of the Bible, saying, "I live by the Ten Commandments," or "I live by the Sermon on the Mount," is not good enough. That will never save you if you avoid that relationship with Christ, a real, genuine relationship with him, where he is Lord. Then you cannot be saved if you don't have that relationship. As we read today, in light of the conviction and even condemnation that the Word of God can lay upon us, that understanding of how it pierces our hearts and shows us that we can't hide anything, that should drive us and motivate us to want to come to Christ, who he now describes after saying all of that in verse 14. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." In other words, come to him. In light of these things, come to Christ. Stay with him. Hold on to him. Why would you not? Why? Because the Word of God, Jesus, is our high priest. He's our high priest. See, they were so concerned about going back and ministering through the high priest and all of those things, like bringing our sacrifice and all of this stuff. And it just felt so right. It felt sacrificial. He's saying, look, you have a high priest, Jesus, who, by the way, he says, passed through the heavens. This doesn't make sense to us. We think, yeah, he's in heaven. He rose again. He's in heaven. Actually, to this audience, the Hebrews, the Jews, this meant a lot more than that, because they're thinking, I want to go back to the sacrifices and the high priest who had access to the very throne of God. I want to go back to that, or at least I'm being convinced by those who are real heavy pushing on us to go back. I'm being convinced that maybe I should just go back and compromise. He's saying, look, you have a high priest that passed through the heavens. They were familiar with the Old Testament laws. Also, the tabernacle, its offerings, and the things that happened around the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, there were many shadows, pictures of Christ, who was to come, the Messiah that they should be looking for. For example, the Passover lamb. They knew that they would offer that sacrifice, that they had to bring their own, and it had to be a perfect one, flawless, without spot or blemish, and they had to offer this amazing beast for their sins, and then they would eat of it, partake of it, and celebrate the redemption that came. Because those who had faith, those who put the blood on their doorposts, those who partook of the lamb would be redeemed, saved, let free. They would survive. They wouldn't die. The firstborn would not be killed. And those who didn't believe, those who didn't follow through, those who didn't apply the blood or sacrifice the lamb, they would experience death. So they understood this, the Passover lamb. They just didn't see it yet in Christ. The serpent being lifted up in the wilderness when they were doing all of their grumbling, and God said, you know what? I'm going to judge all that grumbling. I'm tired of it. So a plague broke out. They were dying. And God told Moses, fashion a serpent, put it on the stick, you know, and lift it up. So he lifted it up and he said, here's the thing. Here's the act of faith. You look at that serpent. You look to that serpent being lifted up. You'll be healed. By faith, do that. I know it makes no sense, but that's the medicine I'm giving you. And Jesus said of himself, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That we are to look to him. These were pictures. How about the rock that gave water? Like the rock is always here. The rock that Moses was supposed to speak to that last time, and he instead struck. A picture of Christ who said he gives living water. We could go into a lot more detail on these symbols and what they meant and all of the details. That's not the point of our message today. The point is there were some shadows that should have pointed them to Christ that they missed, including in the tabernacle itself. The outer covering of the tabernacle was plain, didn't look like anything special. However, when you went on the inside, you saw embroidery. You saw beauty. It was beautiful. And about Christ, it says that on the outside, there was nothing that would cause him to stand out as anything amazing. You know, he wasn't Hercules. I'm Christ. You know, like, oh, that's the Lord. He wasn't the best looking, you know, like an Absalom who we're kind of working with on Wednesday nights with flowing hair and the glow. And, oh, Jesus, man, he was so handsome. Nothing like that. Just average guy. You wouldn't pick out of a crowd, except that he's just so godly, just like the tabernacle. But on the inside, perfection and beauty, unlike ever, a love you couldn't even grasp or understand completely. Then you would go into the outer court. You'd go into the outer court area, and in that area, you had the priest who would offer the sacrifices. He had to be qualified and cleansed, and then you had the sacrifice itself. So this idea of sacrifice, if you went into the tabernacle proper, because the outer court was like your front yard, you know, and then your house would be the tabernacle part. The first part that you would go into was like a 30 by 15 area. 30 feet by 15 feet, not all that big. And so you'd go in, and on the left side, you'd have the lighted seven-branch candelabra, and it would have oil that would be maintained by the priests. It was never to go out. Even when the lights went out and it was a new moon, so it was dark, that light was always to be going because Jesus' light never goes out. He's the light of the world. Seven branches, in fact, talking about being whole, complete. On the right side, there was the loaves of bread. And those loaves of bread, there were 12 of them because he is the bread of life. He gives life. He sustains life. And by the way, there were 12 tribes. So the loaves covered everyone. Just as Jesus, his life covers for everyone.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website. buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. In front, there was the incense, that aroma that when the priest would wave his hands, it represented the prayers of the people. But what rose was a sweet aroma, just as when God sees us, the Father sees us, he doesn't see us, he doesn't smell us. He sees, he smells Christ, that sweet aroma that rises up continually. Pictures. Then there was the veil. Now, they couldn't go behind the veil. Only the high priest could go behind the veil, and he could only go one time a year on a specific day when he sacrificed for himself. He would go in with the branch, the hyssop, the blood, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. The mercy seat was on the ark. The ark contained some of the law, copy of the law that had been broken. But the mercy seat, pure gold, covered that law that had been broken, so you couldn't see it. And then blood was sprinkled on top of that to atone for the sins of the people, whether they knew they sinned or they sinned and didn't even know it. That happens too. We're guilty of sin. We don't even know about it. That is sin. That is wrong. And yet it was atoned for by the grace of God. So that high priest, how do you give up that guy? How do you give up a guy that can go into the very throne of God and offer those sins? Well, that's what the author's saying. Jesus, he didn't go behind a curtain made with hands. He went into the curtain of heaven, to the very throne of God. Christ fulfilled what the religious systems just pointed to. You want to give that up? And he mentions Jesus as the Son of God. It's a reminder that the Jesus who went through the clouds, that curtain, and is at the literal throne of God to represent us and to forgive our sins, he is not just another rabbi. He's not just another man. Like when one high priest would die, the next one took over. He was the Son of God. He was the very Word of God. He was God in the flesh. He's your representative. When he spoke, he wasn't speaking words he memorized from the Lord. When he spoke, it was God speaking. That's why these words will condemn. They're not up for debate. They're not up for interpretation. Because when he spoke, God spoke. If you were to describe God, if God would describe himself with his word so that his word would manifest and we could actually see what he spoke, you would have Jesus. In fact, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In John 1:14, "And the Word," by the way, "which was with God and was God himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Whose glory? God's glory. "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The high priest was the one who was permitted to represent the people. God established the high priest, that role. And he was the one and only one who was able to represent the people to God. So think about it. How do you give up that system? I have no one representing me. Is this really going to work? The high priest had to be born of a certain family. Levi, or actually he had to be a descendant of Aaron. The high priest had to be a descendant of Aaron specifically, not just even a Levite, but a descendant of Aaron. He had to live a certain lifestyle, obeying the law. He didn't have anything. He couldn't have anything. That sounds a lot like Christ, right? Christ was born, his actually trumps. We're going to talk about Christ a little more and how he qualified as a high priest, a better high priest, next week. So I don't want to go too far into this, but he certainly, being the Son of God, qualified more than someone who was the son of Levi to be a high priest. Also, they couldn't have land. What did Jesus say about himself? "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I have no place. This isn't my home." He had none of that. He lived a certain life. And besides that, they obeyed the law. They knew the law, the priesthood on earth. Jesus said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." He had to, meaning that he would live a life that would qualify him to be the high priest, that permanent, eternal high priest that he was going to be. So, there is no other way to be saved. There is no other name. There's no one we can come to or come through to be saved because God has established this. There's so much more to this than you and I are aware of. All of these pictures show us the detail, painstaking detail, according to God's law for the world and for sin and death that have to be met, that Jesus and only Jesus meets, that we have hope in no other name. It doesn't matter how eloquent they speak, what they offer. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 12 that says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's why the author urges them to hold fast the confession. Hold fast to Jesus and your confession to him. Where else are you going to go? If Jesus went into the heavens and is the real high priest, where else are you going to go? Back to that? Back to bringing in the... Can you imagine if that's what we had to do still in our church services? Because everybody had to bring their animals. We'd need a whole, forget paying for quality chairs. Some of this stuff would have to go. Carpet, uh-uh. Because it's a whole different environment. But thank God that the price was paid once for all in Christ. You don't want to return to that system where you have to sacrifice, where you have to follow all of those rules that many times you couldn't even remember them all. A religion that couldn't save, but simply pointed to your need of this Messiah who was coming. And now we in the New Testament look back to him as the Savior who came. Why embrace the teachings of a man who sounds eloquent, sounds reasonable, when there is only one who can be our high priest and our representative, Christ? So don't turn back. That's the point. When many were going to leave Jesus because Jesus began to teach some hard things. I hope you know this. Jesus wasn't all about love and grace. He said some hard things. Like, to follow me, you need to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. He taught one time, and he said, unless you eat of my flesh, unless you drink of my blood, unless you're part with me, one with me, you can't be with me. Many of them started to go away. Like, man, these are some hard things. Even the disciples came up to Jesus and said, man, these are hard. Our church was growing. Man, we were exploding. And then you said these hard things. And our church is kind of back down to us. So, Jesus, these are kind of hard things. Well, here's what Jesus said. He didn't say, I'm sorry. He said, John chapter 6, verse 67 through 69. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that you is the word, it means you alone. It's exclusive. Not you as well as others. You alone have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So don't turn back. Don't go back to some religious system. You know, when we are looking for that place to worship and fellowship, the number one thing shouldn't be, I like these people. The number one thing should be, is Christ lifted? Is he magnified? Are they serious about Christ? Do I understand the Bible and who Jesus is? As a result of coming here. If I were to come here over a year, what would I learn? Because that's what we want to gather around, is the Word of God. And I'll guarantee you this. If you gather around that, you will not only like those that you're around, you will love them. Because you'll realize you're in a battle together. And you'll get to know each other. And you will love each other. Because Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love one for another. I trust the word of God to do that work. He alone qualifies as our ultimate high priest. So, he's able to save, but more than that, he's willing to save. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, we have a high priest who's understanding. He sympathizes with us. He's experienced what we've experienced in temptation and in pain and suffering.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in